cold notwithstanding. We're reminded of people like Daniel and like Joseph and many others in the world even today who continue to worship God even though the setting around them wasn't ideal, perhaps. Although what is ideal for worshiping God? Having our hearts in tune with Him and our minds set on doing His will and turning our will to His. That is what's important, and we're thankful that we have a place at least out of the elements, even if it is a little chilly in here. We're grateful for the visitors that are with us, and we pray that this time will be beneficial to you, that you'll open your Bibles and study along with us as we look at the passages. Today will be a little bit of a different lesson than normal. I'm thankful to have arrived back safely from Lisbon, Portugal, myself and Lucas, and I bring greetings from the Christians who are living in that city. And I bring thanks to you for allowing myself and Lucas and Kelly from Kentucky to go and to encourage them. And really, as we said on the way leaving, that and to be encouraged by them, I feel like we benefited much more from them than they did from us, though we certainly did our best to help them to grow. And I never really know how to present a lesson like this because I want to make sure that God does receive the glory. It's not about what we did, but about what God did through us that's important. But in Acts chapter 15, we see that as Paul and Barnabas had come back, after being sent by the church from Antioch, they had gone all around the region of Asia Minor teaching the gospel. And when they came back, Acts 15, verse 27, they came and gathered the church together and reported all that God had done with them, and that He'd opened the door of the faith to the Gentiles. They stayed there a long time with the disciples. They simply gave a report of the things they had done, and in so doing, glorified God, because it was, in fact, God working through them. We look at people like Daniel in the section that was read before the lesson this morning, and here's a man who is placed into a situation where he's been taken away from the comforts of home. He obviously was familiar with Jeremiah, perhaps later in his life than at the time he was taken from Jerusalem, but Jeremiah and Isaiah both would have told him that it was God who had taken him from his comfort. It was God who had stirred up the nations against Israel, his own chosen people, and that the suffering that Daniel and the others were going through was a direct result of the sin of their own nation and God raising His hand against them. But even so, instead of giving up on God, instead of seeing that the world was against them, they saw that God was for them, and it was for their own good, the things they were going through. And Daniel was able to keep strong and serve God no matter what the situation was. I want to speak to you, speaking of Daniel and his three friends, of four people that we know that are in a place where the world seems to be against them, but they're working to serve God. Portugal is a fairly small country, population of 10 million total. And the area is only about 36,000 square miles, makes it slightly smaller than the state of Indiana, the total size-wise. Specifically, Lisbon, where we were, there's a population of 2.6 or 2.8 million, depending on whose figures you want to use, and depending on how much of the greater Lisbon area you choose to include. But the greater Lisbon area is more or less 1,150 square miles, or about eight times the size of Charleston, the downtown, that's the Charleston proper area, but still not a very small area, but there's 2.6, 2.8 million people there. A lot of opportunity for preaching the gospel. The Christians that we met with there had been for about a month and a half actively putting out pamphlets. They took out ads on Google and on Yahoo and took out ads on other specific personal websites, playing up the fact that there would be some public studies being done on both the Sundays that we were there, and we'll talk about some of those and some of the response that was given. But out of these 2.6 million people that we know of, there are only four Christians. There's Luis, Irene, Camilda, and Isabel, and I've kind of pinpointed where they live. Camilda and Isabel are mother and daughter. Irene lives in her own apartment now, and she works as a babysitter, an au pair for a family in the area where she lives there. Then Luis lives across the river there with his family, helping take care of his elderly mother and father. Four Christians in the middle of all that. And I just want to kind of give you a flavor of what these 10 days we spent with them were like and how much work they put into trying to reach the lost and how much we were encouraged by them and encouraged them. They had really done a good job in finding a comfortable place for us. The comfort wasn't the most important thing, but we had this table and these two suites, so that we had plenty of room. We actually held all of the studies, almost all of the studies with the Christians in the hotel room, and it was so helpful because if we'd had to go across town to meet with people in other places, we'd have lost several hours worth of opportunities to be studying with them. So this really worked out to be ideal. It was very centrally located. It was easy for everyone to get to. And so they came to us. The Friday we got there, we couldn't check in until 2 in the afternoon, so we spent most of the morning, we got there at like 8 in the morning, I believe, spent most of the morning walking around the area close to the hotel, kind of getting our bearings and finding out where the studies were going to be held, which was at another hotel several blocks away, about a 45-minute walk away. But we walked between those two hotels pamphleting mailboxes. We went to these residential buildings, and whenever someone accidentally left the door ajar, we snuck in and filled the mailboxes with pamphlets talking about the studies we'd be having on that Sunday and the next. Some people quickly slammed the door when they saw us coming, and I guess that's reasonable in a big city. You never know what you're going to get. But that's what they had been doing as much as they could for the month and a half prior to our arrival, besides all the other things they did. But you'll see that it's amazing the amount of time that was spent just in study with these Christians over these 10 days. Cremilda and Isabel, who you'll meet a little bit later, took their vacation to be able to spend these days with us. Cremilda took a whole month off at the busiest time of year for her. She's a seamstress, and nearing the end of the year is the time when they have the most work because of end-of-the-year festivities and things that are going on. She stood to lose the most money, if you will, by missing out on these opportunities. But she took a month off to be able to participate in these studies, and then Isabel took the last week that she had a vacation off to be with us in this as well. Luis, who is here, is self-employed, so he was able to spend all the time with us. And we took advantage of some other opportunities we'll talk about in a moment. But we worked through the book of Daniel, which is why I used that verse at the beginning. Very encouraging studies. Kelly Cook, the brother that we helped also from this congregation that went with me from Kentucky, led the studies, and I did the translating in the book of Daniel. But I want you to look at the schedule, and this is really pretty much how it was every day, as you'll see. Daniel 1 and 2 the first day, then we had 5 lessons on marriage and divorce. They had requested to go through those lessons I've been doing here with you guys on Wednesday night, and we'll talk in a little bit about some of the specific reasons why those were lessons they requested. They requested them once we got there, so they weren't in Portuguese. I had to translate on the fly on those. But we started at 10:30 in the morning on that Saturday. By the time we were done, it was 9:30 at night. We had a break for lunch, about an hour and a half, but the rest of that time was sitting at that table studying the Bible. That was our Saturday, Kelly leading those studies. He was some time with marriage and divorce. I think I have people's names on here now for you. There's Luis. We'll get a look at his face a little bit later. He's the one Christian male that is there. Fatima is coming down from Porto. It's about a 7-hour round trip. She came down just for the weekend study. She can't make it during the week because she has to work. Her 11-year-old son, Francisco, came with her, and we got to spend a good bit of quality time with him. Irene, who is the one who works as an au pair. There's Isabel and Camille up top. And then Joan, who's a friend of Irene's and is a member of a very popular charismatic church, and he's been attending for about a year, and we'll talk about him a little bit later as well. But I put the time on there just so there were timestamps on these photos, so that was kind of interesting. There's a 5-hour time difference, but you kind of get a feel for how long we were together doing these studies. At this point, we had lost Joao because he had something going on with his church on Saturday night that he had to go to. Then Sunday morning, we met for the public studies, and since they had rented this other hotel room, they decided they would just have their worship there, too. They usually meet in one of the Christians' homes for worship, and they decided since they had this place, they would go ahead and we would meet here. And another full day scheduled, Daniel 3 for the morning class at 10 a.m. Then we had worship with the saints, and we, Kelly, myself, and Lucas took turns teaching and doing some of the elements of worship so that Luis, who always is the one who has to lead everything, got a chance to have a break. And then we had public studies from 3 p.m. to 6:30. We had about an hour and a half break for lunch between the worship and the public studies there. And here's the church that's meeting there. Again, Isabel, Irene, Camilda, and Fatima, who just comes occasionally because of that 7-hour round trip question. And there's Luis, again, a better look at him. Daniel 4, we had the class on Daniel 4, I think it's supposed to be Daniel 3, actually. But that was during the morning lesson that Kelly was teaching and I was translating there. And then we had these big picture lessons. The ones I did here, three lesson series on the overarching picture of the Bible and the plan of salvation. We worked through those and we had some visitors this time. There's Dona Luisa, that's Luisa's mother. She is not someone who meets with him regularly, though Luis is studying with her. So Luis, his father, it's interesting they have the same name, all of them. And then Selma and Edna. Edna had written to us before we went down. She got one of our flyers and she saw on one of the websites too that we would be in town. And she has been using the study, some that I had been involved in writing for while I was in Brazil. She's been studying those. She's a Brazilian who now lives in Portugal. She was very excited when she found out that we were going to be doing these studies. And so she actually got there late because she spent about an hour trying to talk her roommate into coming with her and finally got her to come. So both of them were there for that, and we'll talk about them a little bit later as well. And so we had four visitors, and then here's one down in the corner you can't see. We'll talk about her. Claudia, someone we had met last year who's been continuing to study with the Christians there during this whole time that we've been away. Monday was a national holiday. After we had our full day of studies on Sunday, Monday was a national holiday, so Fatima got to stay one extra day. She didn't have to go back to work. So she said, let's finish the marriage lessons. And so we did that for her benefit, and we actually had one left by the next weekend. But Isabel and Fatima are specifically dealing with issues concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Isabel married very young, a man who actually was a friend of Luis's and theirs, and after I don't even know how long it was, less than a year it seems, they decided they just didn't need to be married anymore. They just weren't made for each other or whatever, and they just kind of divorced, split up after spending a year apart. They finally went through and got an official divorce. And then Isabel began studying what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage and realized that she'd made a mistake. Her ex-husband is now living with a woman and has a child with her and is off somewhere distant. And she says that she understands that from the mistake that she made in divorcing with no just cause for adultery, that she is meant to be alone unless she can reconcile with him, which she doesn't see as a possibility. But she wanted to get some study on that so she could be grounded more biblically. So she requested the study. Fatima has no husband. She has an 11-year-old son from a man that she had lived with years ago before she became a Christian. And the church that she attends, it calls itself a Church of Christ, though only in name. There is one of the elders or the preacher's daughters, I'm not sure if it was the elder or preacher, it may be both, is living with a man, and they've decided that since they're the first people that have ever lived together, they're the first couple, that they're officially married by God now. And so their doctrine is being upheld by this congregation, that those two can just stay together since they're the first two that have ever been together. So she wanted to study on that because she's having to deal with that directly, and she's making decisions whether she can continue worshiping with that group or not. I think she's leaning in the right direction as far as knowing that she doesn't need to be with them doctrinally anymore, but she wanted grounding on that. So that's why we specifically spent the time working on those lessons. So we had another full day of study. Marriage and divorce, we had six lessons on Monday, and those of you who have been participating in that class know that that's a lot of material all at once. And I kept saying, are you okay? Do we need to go on? I know this is hurting your head. And they said, please go on. Please go on. And they're very tough lessons to sit through six at a time, but they did, and with very much enthusiasm. We began at 10:15 that morning, and we stopped at 5 because Fatima and Francisco had to go catch their bus so they could make it home before midnight on that Monday, so she could actually be ready to go to work on the next morning. But we spent another full day in some very tough lessons to go through back-to-back with a slight break for lunch. There's proof that Lucas was actually there and he was helping out. He's giving comments occasionally. Since most of the studies were done both in English and Portuguese, he was able to participate. These were English on the computer screen, so he could read it well enough, and Portuguese spoken. And again, there's the whole group as we're taking advantage of our holiday and still together all day. Just pretty incredible that they were willing to devote that much time to just sitting around the table and studying. But that's what they wanted to do, and that's what they had planned for our trip there. The next day, after Fatima had gone, Carmilda and Isabel invited us to come and have the studies at their home. Aunt Annie, who works all day, is unavailable during the daytimes unless it's a holiday. So we took the opportunity to study with Carmilda and Isabel. Went to their home then on Tuesday, and there they are, getting that picture you just saw, actually. And here we worked through Daniel 4 and 5, and we also, later when Aunt Annie got off work and came over after 9 o'clock, after we'd been there from 1 in the afternoon till 9, studying Daniel 4 and 5. These were not just kind of run-through studies. These were very detailed studies. After we'd spent all that time studying through Daniel 4 and 5, then Aunt Annie joined us, and we studied through James 1, the first part of the lesson on James 1. So again, a hefty study schedule. This is James 1, Overcoming Sin and Temptation. Studies led there by Kelly and translated by me, but from 2 till 10, we were studying around this table. And that's the third day of about 8 hours at a pop studies. Well, what happened is, because of all that schedule, Isabel actually started giving migraine headaches because we had just been forcing it so much. So she wasn't feeling well, so we had to abbreviate the studies. And I put that in quotes because I want you to see how abbreviated these studies were. On Wednesday, we took the morning to go sightseeing while she needed some time to catch up and rest. And she was going to join us at 11, but she ended up coming at 2. So in our abbreviated studies, we did a detailed hours-long study on Daniel 6 and 7. We finished our James 1, Overcoming Sin and Temptation. From 2 o'clock on, we were at the hotel. Lucas did his study on You're Never Alone. I think that was on Wednesday. It might have been on Thursday. Did his study on Never Alone. And then, after Daniel 6 and 7, after part of Daniel 6 and 7, we then took it to the public food court where they usually go during the week, where they study in an open area where people can come by and see what they're doing and ask if they can join. They've had some success with that. No one has ever stayed for very long, but they've had some that have come at least and studied with them. So we stayed there until Aunt Annie got off work and met us, and then we studied with her and escorted the ladies home. This was something we also did every night after it was dark. We would take them all the way across the other end of town, take them to their place to get them there in safety, and then we'd come back. The men never got to bed before 1 o'clock, and we were usually going hard at studies already by 10 in the morning the next morning. So this is just showing you what a Catholic influence there is in the country. This is one of the big monasteries downtown. This is the downtown area that's called Bethlehem, Belém in Portuguese, and so this is just kind of showing you, there's Carl and Luis, showing you what the terrain was like there on our sightseeing. After that full day on Wednesday, that abbreviated full day on Wednesday, we then had an opportunity to go to Luis's family's house across the river and study with him. Again, another full day of study, even though this one was more broken up because of travel. But we began at 10 a.m. already in the hotel room. The girls came early, and we studied Daniel 8. And then we took the boat across the river, which took some time. We had lunch over at Luis's family's home. And then we studied from about an hour and a half from 3 on in spirit and truth some lessons that I'd done here at one point. Luis has been studying with his family. They've worked through several denominational issues. They've been studying on their own, but they're not to a point of making a decision yet, so we were trying to kind of teach them some lessons that would make them have to make a decision. So we worked on Are You Worshiping in Spirit and Truth. That was actually at his sister's house where his parents are living now, and so she was there and participated as well, and we'll talk about her in a moment. Then when we got done with that, we took the long trek back to the hotel and studied Daniel 9. Very long, very encouraging days of study, but very long and tiring days of study. For the first time, I'm feeling jet lag. I've never felt that before, but we just wore ourselves out. There's the study at Luis's parents' house. There's Sir Luis, very encouraging man. He's always eager and wanted to read all the passages, and so we would allow him to participate as much as he could. He even got his harmonica out and wanted to play We Are All Sons of God and some other songs for us that he just wanted to participate in everything that he could. A very genuine man. There are several other people we didn't, that's the only picture that came out well from that, but there are several other people there. Donna Luisa, obviously, Luisa's mother was present. His sister, Lizette, and we'll talk about her in a moment. Carmilda was also there, and Isabel, then Lucas, of course, and Kelly. So another full day and everybody involved. Then we took, as I said, the scenic route home. We went back across the river, and then instead of getting right on the metro there at the river stop, we walked to the downtown metro station and got on there just so we could kind of see a little bit of Lisbon, a beautiful, beautiful city. And this area is a shopping district. It's just full of opportunities, full of contacts, and full of places to distribute pamphlets, which is what they've done some. And just, it's amazing as you look out over the city how many opportunities there are. This was a museum that's also one of the metro and bus station link-ups. We get back home then, and there, Daniel 8 and 9 being finished late into the night with Kelly. This part Luis was actually translating. I had a lot of work still to get done on the Sunday PowerPoint presentations. So Lucas said he wanted to get me a picture of me sleeping, but I'm really not sleeping. I'm sitting on the bed studying, and my laptop is there as I'm working on the presentations, but it's a pretty good try. I could have used some sleep at that point for sure. But we went on, and you can tell even on the timestamp on the photo, it was already 9 o'clock at night there, and we were still waiting for Aunt Annie. We thought she might join us at 9:30 or so. We finished our study, and it turned out she wasn't able to come that particular night. But another long day starting at 10 in the morning and going till almost 10 at night. And then on Friday, we had a little free time in the morning. We didn't have very much free time at all. We had a little bit of free time in the morning. These studies started out a little bit later, and spent a whole day working through Daniel 10, 11, and 12. There's Kelly Cook, who went with us, and Carmilda. And what we did several times, though I'd never pictured it before, we actually had lunch in the room. They would bring sandwiches or salads or things like this. We would lunch in the room so that we didn't waste time going somewhere else, so that we could get lunch over in about 20 minutes or half an hour and get right back into studying. They were all about, let's take advantage of the 10 days. Let's use every moment we've got and study as much as we can. There were also, in some of these days, there were breaks between the bigger studies where we would do smaller studies, encouraging readings from short articles that Christians had written, just encouraging smaller studies that I didn't mention on here, but the time was filled, even the downtime was filled with spiritual conversation and encouraging articles and study on other subjects that they would ask about. But here on Friday, we had another grueling study schedule. We began at 1. Like I said, we had some free time that morning. The girls came at 1 and studied Daniel 10 through 12. Then, after the full day of studying Daniel, they wanted to study on angels. And so we had a study beginning some lessons on angels at 8 p.m. that night. And then, after we took the girls home, we brought Francisco back with us. Fatima and Francisco were able to come back for the second weekend studies. He's 11 years old and just needs some positive influence, and we got to spend a lot of time with them. It was really good. I think it was great to have Lucas there for that particular purpose. They were able to communicate quite well in broken English and broken Portuguese. Between the two of them, they did great, and I appreciate Lucas and his influence for good on this young man. So we got to spend some time with him. Then we took in some local culture on Saturday. It wasn't all hard work. We got to go to a soccer match, World Cup qualifying. But it was still a busy day before that. We started at 10 in the morning, finishing off our marriage and divorce lessons, going through some review. We had two lessons really to finish up. Studied Fishers of Men, and then we finished up the lesson on angels as well. So another busy day before we broke at about 7 o'clock, from 10 a.m. to 7 o'clock, and then the guys went off to the game. And then we had our pre-goodbye the next Sunday morning on the 11th as we got together for worship last time with the saints in a public setting. Studied Nehemiah 3 for the 10 a.m. class. We had to worship with the saints. And then, again, the public studies, the part that they had been advertising and setting for us to go there from 3 to 6:30. We actually went quite a bit over that on this day with the studies. again, and Idani, Camille, Isabel, and Fatima. I'm going to talk a little bit about their situations individually so that we can be concentrating on and praying for them. They're very prayerful and mindful of you. They wanted to let you know that they remember you and they thank you for what you've done. Idani is struggling. It became obvious to us after the first couple of days. She works a grueling schedule. She goes in at about 8 in the morning and doesn't usually get off till 9 or 9:15 at night because that's how long the parents are gone off to work and she's taking care of some small children. She doesn't really get paid special time. She does all the laundry. She does all the cooking, all the cleaning for the house, as well as take care of the kids. And she's just worn down. She was very distracted during most of the studies, always answering cell phones or playing with a kind of a Palm Pilot device. And very different than from last year. She also had spent about 3 or 4 months back in Brazil and had no contact with Christians while she was there. So she's in a pretty weak state right now. So I'd like to ask your prayer specifically on her behalf. The brethren are working with her. The Christians there are trying to get her encouraged and get her to be more focused. But she's having a struggle. I think it even shows in her face. A pretty telltale picture. Most of the time, that's the way she looked. Just worn out and even weary with service to God, and it was frustrating to see that in her, and we did what we could to encourage her. Camille, that's a great shot of her. Very energetic. She just turned 61, and she was like a kid, just had us running up and down trying to keep up with her. Never once was concerned about how long the studies were going, always eager to have another one right on the back of one we just stopped. Just a real encouragement. She had lost a tooth that morning, so she was smiling with her mouth shut. It had fallen out during the night. She had to go to the dentist. She said, "I'm not going to smile in any of these pictures." Isabel just doesn't smile in pictures. She doesn't like the way it makes her face look. So she's very serious, but she's really, really lighthearted and a great Bible student. She is very dedicated, and she really is what's helping to hold the women contingent there together. She is a great influence on them. Just an encouragement to be around. As I said, she's in that situation where she knows that she's got to remain alone, but she's content to do the Lord's will and just pray that she will continue to be that way and keep that strength. Fatima, again, is making that 7-hour round trip. She was coming at least once a month to be with the brethren. Sometimes they would go be with her, all three of them would go and just worship with her up there. But it's not always possible for them to do that. I say all three of them because Cremilda a lot of times has to work on Sunday afternoons. They have their worship in the mornings, and then Cremilda has to work. It's just the way her schedule is set up, so she wouldn't go with them when they would go to worship with Fatima. But Fatima will need a lot of encouragement as well. She's a very strong woman, very strong-willed and very intelligent, and knows a good bit about the Bible. But she's going to have some difficulties having to confront some of these issues. If she tries to leave the place where she is in Porto, they're not going to be real happy with her. She's very involved bringing people that are needy to the congregation and things, and they're going to really give her a hard time if she decides that she doesn't want to worship with them anymore. So she's going to need a lot of prayers for encouragement, and we're trying to work on a way to keep in contact with them at least month to month so we can try to keep them encouraged in some of the struggles they're going to be facing. There we are during the worship service, and Lucas preaching on types of hearts with a dubious translation job. I tried my best, but it was a great lesson for them, and I really appreciated that how encouraged they were by his being able to be there. They don't have any young people. They're all 39, 49, and 59, and to see a 15-year-old that's dedicated just to the service of the Lord was good for them, and I appreciate it, and I think it was good for Lucas as well. So I want to thank you again for allowing him to go with me. The more that we can be involved, the more that we can see what people struggle with in other places, it helps us understand that we're all doing the same thing. We're all working to do the same thing. We studied 1 Timothy 1:12 through 17. It was kind of a split sermon between Kelly and Lucas for that morning. Again, just the Christians involved at this point. But you can see it was early in the morning for us. It was already noon for them, but pretty early for us. And then after that, we had a break about an hour for lunch, an hour and a half, and then we had these all-day studies again from 3 to 6. Specific studies they had asked about, things they thought would generate interest in the community, in the religious community at least. What church are you a member of? Donna Luisa was there again for that. Lizette was there for that. And there's one you can't see right there. You can just barely make his head out. It's Dylan. That's Lizette's 6-year-old boy. You wouldn't know he was there. After it was all over, I went and said, "Were you here the whole time?" I never heard one peep out of him. He was so well, I can't think of what the word is, but so well behaved. And he's not used to being involved in things like that. She's just done a really, really good job with him. Lizette is in an interesting situation. Her husband lives in England, and she can't afford to live there. She has to work in Portugal, and he's working in England. He can't afford to come to Portugal, at least for now. Luis has worked long and hard hours with her, trying to help her to understand what a bad situation that is for them to be apart. She gets to see him once every 3 months, I think, and the son as well. And so he's really trying to work on either her going there or his coming to Portugal. The idea would be his coming to Portugal, because if she goes there, she won't probably continue studying the Bible. Apparently, her husband is more spiritually minded than she is. Luis has had some good opportunities with him and has studied with him, and so maybe he can convince him to come. But she will definitely need your prayers. There is some really good news that we'll talk about in just a moment on behalf of Donna Luisa and Lizette and Dylan, for that matter. Since we've left, there's been some things we've heard that have been really good. But we studied first about which church you're a member of, why are there so many denominations, and can we all understand the Bible alike? Just very general topics, but necessary topics. And unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot of public interest. It was amazing, because we were concerned that if we had gone there and they'd gone to all this trouble to rent this place and to pass out these flyers and to rent advertisement space and all the things they did, that they would be really discouraged by that. Well, they weren't discouraged at all. They were disheartened that people weren't more interested, but they were not discouraged at all. They were very encouraging even to us to make sure that we weren't discouraged for having gone there and put forth this effort and nobody came. But here's Claudia. She was there for both of those studies. She's a contact that we made last year when we went. And we studied with her a few times last year. She did stop meeting with the Reformed Church, the one that invited us to come last year, but basically rejected the lessons that we taught. She stopped meeting with them after studying with Luis for a short time. She still continues to study with Luis. Sometimes they'll study for 3 hours on end. Some questions she's got. She's gone through every bit of the material that we left her. We left her a CD. I can't tell you, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lessons on it. She's gone through every one of those and has brought her specific questions to Luis, and they've studied through them. But she is someone who doesn't know how to make decisions, and she gets off task very easily. Even while you're talking to her, you can see she's thinking of something else, or her mind just kind of wanders. And so she'll definitely need to be more focused, and I think that we can be praying that she will be. She has a good heart. She seems to want to do what's right, but she trips herself up on her own doubt. Things that she'll learn, she'll intentionally forget so she can come at it from a different angle, and she's going to have a lot of struggles unless she could just firm up in believing that God's Word tells her what she needs to know. She was present, though, and she was attentive in both the public studies. They're not the kind of studies that you can just walk away from and not think about. So we'll be praying that she is heartfelt in thinking about these things. And certainly Luis is continuing to study with her. This is a picture actually from last year, but I wanted to make sure we got a good look at Donna Luisa and Lizette. The one in the middle there is Carlos. That's Luis's brother. He wasn't able to be with us this time. And his other brother was traveling to Spain, so he wasn't able to be there either. But there's Dylan, a little better look at him. Donna Luisa and Lizette were there for the study, obviously, at his parents' house. Kind of a study, not trying to put pressure on them, but kind of a study that you need to respond to when you study through it. Are you worshiping in spirit and truth? And so I just asked Luis if he had heard anything from them, and he said, "Well, I had lunch with them the day you left, and they said, we need to start worshiping with you guys. We'd like to start coming." That's a start. Up to this point, they hadn't been coming to worship services at all. They were moved by something, and we need to be praying that they will continue to be moved. The step to be worshiping with them is not just a step to go be present wherever the church meets. It's really a step to be studying with them. Luis is already working on lessons that will help them to think over the things that were studied while they were there and to kind of put them more at the forefront of their mind. So we had very good results in terms at least of Luis's family, and he's thankful for that, and He wants us to be praying for them. As I said, they were contacts. We met them last year. They've been studying with Luis for a while, and now they're seeking to meet with the saints, and that's just extremely encouraging. Still, Luis, on the other hand, is a different case. He is a very good, very morally upstanding man. He's who taught Luis to be what he is, and Luis has studied his way through so many errors and has come to see the truth and love the truth and stand for the truth in every possible way. And it's largely because of the influence of his father. But his father is at a stage in his life now where he's taking more time to think through issues, and he's starting to present signs of dementia. He'll ask the same question several times in a row, and Luis is just wanting us to pray that he'll make a decision before he's really unable to make a decision anymore. He has absolute love for Bible study. He was just excited as could be that we actually wanted to go to his house and study. And every time he was around us, he would just fill us with questions. He has a desire to learn, but he needs to make a decision soon before he's unable to physiologically. Well, this is Joao. I mentioned him before. He's a friend of Irene's and a member of this popular charismatic church. He has a lot of zeal. He was great to talk to because of his zeal for the Lord, but you could see very clearly that he has very little study. He enjoyed the studies that he participated in. He was unable to be with us during the second half of the week. The first half of the week, he was almost always present. I think he has some kind of interest in Irene, which may be good or may not be. She's already pressed for time, and I think it would be difficult for her to be with someone who's not as dedicated as she needs to be. And so I'd ask your prayers on behalf of them that she can be an influence to good for him and not the other way around. Certainly, the Luis and the other ladies are aware of this possible interest, and they're working with her and with him. And he is at least making efforts to be with them when he's not with his church. He's had a very, very tough life recently. I've been talked with him quite a bit when we would walk to have lunch and things. I would make a point to be with him. His mother just died last year from cirrhosis. She was an alcoholic and a drug abuser. And his father also was on that path. Some things lead me to think that he probably was too, just some of the things that he does and the way he acts. You can tell he's having some, not withdrawals, but he's had some effect by the things he's done in his past. But he's really struggling with trying to do what's right, and he seems earnest. And so I would ask your prayers on his behalf as well, that the brethren can work with him a way that'll help him to make a decision to do what's proper. Selma and Edna, I said before that Edna had found out about us through a website, doing studies from the Brazilian website. These are new contacts. She brought Selma with her, who is her roommate and also happens to be attending the same Church of God there in Lisbon. They're very interested in Bible study, they say. Edna talked about several studies that she had been through, studies that even from the site in Brazil that I had worked on. So I know some of the things she studied through. She said she would come on that Monday that was a holiday, and they never made it and never called. We're not sure why they didn't make it. And she also said she would be back on the next Sunday, and she wasn't. So I don't know if work or something came up. I want to think the best. I don't think she was just saying she would come just to be nice. She was genuinely ecstatic about the studies on the first day when we were there. You could just see participating, taking notes, shaking her head at everything, and had lots of good questions afterwards. So I think they were very interested. Something must have come up. Fortunately, they gave the brethren there their phone numbers and addresses so that they can be contacted after we're gone. And I know that Luis and the sisters will follow up with them. And I've got the email address because she was already emailing some questions before we went. So we'll have opportunities with Edna and Selma still, and I'll ask you to be praying for them. They do have tendencies toward being over-emotional about the things they've studied. It's great if that emotion comes from a basis in the truth, but it seemed like the emotion was taking them more than the truth was. And so they'll have to learn their way out of that, and that's a lot of us have been through that. So I would ask prayers for them to have some deeper study and deeper learning in the chances that we'll get with them. Well, there were 7 non-Christians that we were able to be with, besides the 4 Christians from Lisbon. And Fatima is a Christian. She's up in Porto. And She's struggling with some of the doctrinal issues that are going on up there. But there are five people against the world, as it would seem. But they don't feel that way. It's amazing. I'll say it again. We got so much more than they did, I believe, from our time with them. What an encouragement to see these people who are working so hard at putting the world behind them and focusing on God. They know that the Lord is with them. I think Daniel was in a very appropriate study that we did, looking at these four people, especially Daniel and his three friends, in this world that was foreign to them, and they managed to continue to serve the Lord, and that's exactly what these have done. They know they're not alone. We understand that we're not either. We're not alone in the sense that, look what we've got around us, what great opportunities we have to be with Christians and to study with Christians, much more opportunities than they have. What great opportunities we have to be able to reach out to people. As they are aware they're not alone, that there's other people that need to be saved, we need to be aware of that as well. And we certainly see that pattern in Joseph, Daniel, especially Paul. They knew the Lord was with them, but that's because they knew that they were with the Lord. They had made that decision. And while this lesson really didn't talk much about how that decision is to be made, the question still remains, are you with the Lord? Are you confident that he is with you, or do you feel utterly alone in this world? You have to understand that the Lord's desire is to forgive those who will repent and obey. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, who had been, as he called himself, the chief of sinners, he saw himself in the worst possible light, knowing what he had done to God and to God's people, had this to say. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's a man who had nothing to live for. He thought he had it all. He thought he was serving God, but he discovered quite abruptly that he had been going against God's plans. But he said that God was showing him mercy and grace in that. There's nothing wrong with finding out that we're in error. There's nothing wrong with someone pointing out that we're in sin. We need people to do that, and I'm thankful for those who've done that with me. But what we need to do is respond in the proper way and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I believe. And Lord, forgive me. And he wants to forgive. If he can forgive Paul, as Paul himself said, then he can forgive anyone. If he can forgive David, then he can forgive anyone. There's nothing that we've done that God cannot forgive if we're willing to repent and to believe on him. Jesus came to this world and he lived a perfect, sinless life. And he paid a bloody price to pay the price for our sin. And he says, if you'll believe on me as the Son of God, if you'll be willing to confess that I am the Christ, the Son of God, repent of your sins, and if you'll come forward to be baptized, to have your sins washed, this very day you can be forgiven and you can have that same confidence that was Joseph's and Daniel's and especially Paul's. And the same confidence that these Christians who seem so alone in the middle of this city of 2.8 million people, you can have the same confidence they do, that the Lord is with them because they're with the Lord. We'd love to help you to make that decision today. If you're not a Christian, won't you come forward and put on Christ in the water of baptism? And if as a Christian you've fallen back into the world and you'd like to have his forgiveness for that, won't you come forward and allow us to help you to make that decision while we stand and sing to encourage you?